1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one of the great passages of scripture, or this one that we're going to talk about is one of these great passages of scriptures that have come to mean so much in my own life, because it has a thought to it of just what we just sang together, okay? I think there's so much time that we're running through life that we just have to try to fix it ourselves when God just says, hey, I want you to be still right now. I just want you to praise me. I just want you to thank me. I just want you to worship me in this moment, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly, whether it's hard, whether it's difficult, or whatever it's going on in my life. Can I just get to the place where I'm dependent on God to thank him first, to love him most, and to be still before him instead of walking in fret, walking in worry, walking in the junk, walking in the stuff that never, ever, ever helps. Right? It never helps. And I think sometimes what stuns us is when we sing a song like this, because we live in a society that's get up and go, do it, pull up your bootstraps. You've got what it takes. It's just all that integrity of what I've got to do. I've got to run to it. I've got to wear myself out to try to not wear myself out. Right? All the time. And yet there's something about Scripture that would speak about the stillness of God, that in the moments of my life that are hard, that are difficult, that I'm gonna put my face toward him and let him be who he wants to be in my life in that moment. I think that this passage speaks to that. I want you to notice what it says, verse 16. Rejoice always, okay? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Always rejoice, always pray, always give thanks. Always. Not half the time, not 35% of the time, not 20% of the time, not 99% of the time, but always. That's what the word always means, always. I mean, it's not like, okay, I'll do this 90 times and then one time I'll not, and then I'll go the rest of the 100 times and then start all over. No, I'm going to give thanks in everything. It's interesting because this word, giving thanks, is a powerful word. I believe it's a supernatural thing when you give thanks and give gratitude to the things that God's doing in your life or to the things that's happening around you. And I discovered this passage of scripture, and then the subsequent study and reading about it is that the word Greek, in the Greek language, and if you're new to me, I hardly ever do this, okay? But I'm just going to tell you, it's called Eucharisteo, the giving of thanks, or I give thanks. You look at the Catholic tradition that calls the Lord's Supper the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal, because that's what Jesus did. He gave thanks for the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus before the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus was broken and spilt and did this phenomenal work for you and for me. Eucharisteo. And the scripture says that you're to give thanks, you're to be grateful in, that's pointing to a time, place, or state, everything, all things, whatever's happening, always, in every place, every time, no matter what, for everything. And then he says this, because this is God's will for you. What is God's will for you? That you give thanks for it. But also that his will is being accomplished through the very thing that you're thanking God for. Gratitude. We have a hard enough time thanking God for that which is good and being consistent with it, let alone the stuff that is kind of bad or the things that are hard in our lives. I tell the story of about 2011 when I'm working through some things in mid-October, late October, of just evaluating where I've been and where I feel like I'm supposed to go in my Christian life. And on that day, on that particular day, which ended up being October 21st, 2011, I asked God that the coming year of my life would be characterized by four things. The first, that I would give thanks to God for everything. And this is how I said it. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly, whether it's beautiful, whether it's hard, or whether it's easy, that I would give thanks. Because that's what Scripture says. He also says it in Ephesians when he says, giving thanks for everything, right? Everything. And I want to just tell you, that's a difficult thing to do, because when things are hard and difficult, or when you're facing a crisis of some sort and it's so uncertain, who in the world thanks God in it or for it? Believers do. Christians do. That's what we're called to. And it's laced through Scripture. It is just laced through it. It's laced through it. People giving thanks for good things, and God giving thanks in the midst of bad things. In my mind, one of the greatest places that we find this is in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. I want you to turn there. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 finds one leper of 10 who were healed, who returns to Jesus and gives thanks for the healing, and he gets saved. My thought is that back in those days, after about several months of doing this, I began to form in my mind and my heart a statement: supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. Thanksgiving produces miracles. I don't think it's any kind of coincidence that we in our American history celebrate Thanksgiving, because after Thanksgiving comes the miracle of what? Christmas. And I'm just going to say this, and I'll say it again. I'm going to say it through this message. Miraculous things happen when you thank God for everything, even those things that are hard and bad. Matter of fact, more so. More so. And I see this in this good thing that happens to a leper. Notice what it says, verse 11. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. He entered a village, and 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, let me tell you a little bit about leprosy. Leprosy is a very, very wicked disease. It has got a person who has had or has leprosy is caused by a bacteria that attacks the body. It's contagious. It comes from droplets that you speak and touching the skin. And it's a horrible disease. It doesn't kill you, but it's chronic. Just Google it and go to the images of people who have leprosy. It is not pretty. It's a neurological disease of the nervous system, and what happens is it attacks the nerves, oftentimes at the ends of your fingers and your hands and your feet, your nose and your ears, and all of a sudden there's tumors that pop up all over you, and then there's this nerve stuff that happens, and you quit feeling pain, and so you knock your hand on something really hard, you don't feel it, and you do it a number of times, you start losing fingers, you start losing toes. It causes the limbs to twist, hands to curl. It causes just deformities like you would not believe. And because it was contagious, you were shunned. You want to talk about complaining about a quarantine over the last couple of years? Let me tell you, become a leper, because you're quarantined for life. You can't see your mama, you can't see your daddy, you can't see your kids, your wife, or anyone else. You're in the leper colony. It's a horrible disease, and it's a disease that just does not stop. I mean, you might bump a finger the first time and lose part of it, and before you know it, 10 years later, you just got a hand with numbs on, nubs, sorry. I do that every service, one time, right? It's awful, and you've got 10 lepers. I mean, to the Jew, this meant that you were sinful, that you had something go wrong in your life, your family line, and you're suffering the consequences of your sin, and sinners get leprosy. Of course, we know that's not true. Nevertheless, in this shunning thing, you couldn't go to church, you couldn't go to synagogue. And I mean, I'm just telling you, it's a harsh disease. And all of a sudden, these 10 lepers show up in this kind of society. They know who Jesus is. They've heard about him. They know what he does. And from a distance, because that's what you did, right? From a distance, cry out, oh God, have mercy on you. Now, I just want to say this. I think that's one of the greatest prayers that you could ever pray when you're going through something. God, have mercy. God, have mercy on this situation. Have God have mercy. Because it's the compassion and mercy of God that drives him to forgive you. It's the compassion of God leads to repentance without regret. Listen, the compassion of God, whenever you see it, it motivates him and it motivates people. And they say, he says, God, have mercy. Mercy on us. And he does. Notice, when he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now watch. And as they were going, they were healed, cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And oh, by the way, he was a Samaritan. And to the Jew, that's just a Samaritan with leprosy is just, it's just double trouble. Because first of all, Jews don't like healthy Samaritans, let alone leprous. So you're looking at someone who is doubly, doubly rejected by God's people, doubly rejected by society. But yet in this moment, while he's going to the priest, now watch this, he's going to the priest, he gets healed while he's going, and guess what? He doesn't go to the earthly priest, he goes back to what? The Prince of Peace, the high priest Jesus. And the Bible says he gives thanks for healing him of this horrible disease. Now you ask, how did he know he was healed? Well, you know what? They all looked at each other and they had no more blemishes. They have hands that grow back, toes that grow back, ears that are now. I mean, they're perfectly healed because when God heals, he heals perfectly in these ways. And they know it. But yet 9 keep going to the priest, I think, but one turns back and gives thanks. No, watch. Watch what's this. So here's the miracle. You might think the miracle is in that healing. No, the miracle is in salvation. The miracle is what we're going to see here in just a moment. And it says, when he turns back, he falls on his face at his feet, giving thanks, Eucharisteo. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but there are 9? Where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. But listen, this is what it's literally. Your faith has saved you. Saved you. The word is sozo. It's the salvation of God. Sozo us, we're sinking. Oh God, save us from this sin. Save us from the power of sin. Oh God, heal me, because sozo has that meaning too. It is a deliverance. It's a rescue from our sin and from the junk and the stuff of this world. Your faith has saved you. The miracle was in the miracle of salvation. 10 go, they get healed. Not one comes back. And I'm going to tell you this, I believe with all my heart. 9 miss salvation. And 1 got saved. Thanksgiving. Supernatural things happen when you give thanks for everything. I think when we thought this song, Lance, just a moment ago, and then we sang this, all I did was praise, all I did was worship, all I did was bow down, all I did was thank you. I gave thanks. And I'm here to say it as just a man who has written in his journal about 4,300 things over the last 8 years of the things that I'm thankful for, even the good things, even the bad things that I've seen God work. And my challenge is going to be as we come to the table in just a moment where we see this supernatural thing in the New Testament, in the Gospels, because every time you see Eucharisteo, a miracle happens. a miracle happens. One author calls it and says it this way. She says it that thanksgiving precedes the miracle. And I'm going to say this always. Always. And I'm going to say, even when it's difficult to say it, even when it's difficult to do it, I just believe the supernatural and miracles follow grateful hearts. And I see it in this passage. I see it in John 6, where Jesus gives thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds 5,000 men and their families. Look it up. Well, not right now, but look it up. I mean, he gives thanks, miracle happens. I mean, not only this time, but when he feeds the 4,000. He gives thanks, and the miracle happens. The miracle takes place. You know, I was kind of studying a little more than on this message, and I just wanted to Google some things about scientific evidence of what gratitude does. I want you to listen to these, okay? This is science, okay? Science says gratitude opens the door to more healthy relationships. Gratitude improves physical, psychological, and emotional health. Being thankful enhances empathy, reduces aggression. Grateful people sleep better. Gratitude enhances greater well-being. Gratitude increases mental strength. Vietnam War veterans who they studied, who had all these kinds of crises in the war, those who gave thanks. The study shows that they did so much better, had so many lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Science tells us that giving thanks releases dopamine, which makes you feel good. It triggers positive emotions, optimism, and camaraderie. Gratitude causes the brain to also release serotonin, which enhances our mood. Think antidepressant. A Thanksgiving is my antidepressant. They go on and says these studies show that it helps in our self-control and our motivation. And serotonin has been called the happy molecule. And what happens is the brain has this ability to form new neural connections throughout life as we thank God for the things that are going on in our lives. Supernatural things happen when you give thanks for everything. I think about the positive things of life that we are to thank God, but what about the hard things? Are you saying, Mike, that supernatural, the miraculous happens even when thanking God for the hard, the bad, and the loss? Well, John 11 sees Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, and what does he do? He's been dead 4 days, and Jesus gives thanks. And what happens? Lazarus comes forth. Job 1 finds Job thanking and worshiping God after catastrophic loss. And the Bible says his end was better than his beginning. Jonah 2:9, after 3 days in the belly of the fish, finally gives thanks. And the fish vomits him. Did I say vomit? Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I changed that. But it vomits him to the shore. After what? Giving thanks. I think about these passages of Scripture like in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas find themselves in the jail after healing a demonized girl. They've been beaten, thrown in the deepest part of the jail, and at midnight they start praising God for it all, and the earthquake comes. And they get free. And they don't leave, but they stay right in their place. And the Philippian jailer comes to Jesus, and all of a sudden, his whole household comes, and along with the sellers of purple, the women that they've already evangelized, the church of the living God starts in Philippi. It's a miracle. You know, there's a lot of very personal things that I could talk to you about that I can't talk to you about because it's personal and it involves family, the things we've thanked God for. Things that we've struggled with our kids, things that we've struggled with grandchildren. But I've always found that if I would default to thank you, and when I do, just something miraculous happens in my heart. Now, I can tell you this one thing. If you're new to us, I'm a New Orleans boy and never dreamed of living in the country, but we've been living in the country for 37 years. Okay. And this titty boy could care less about horses. Sorry, horsemen, okay? It's okay, right? But there's always a horse on my place. Okay. Always. Because my wife was a city girl, always wanted to be a country girl. And, you know, over the past few months, we just kind of, you know how things come in threes and fours, you know, the dryer breaks, the septic system has to be pumped. You got to have a whole tank of propane done. I'm just telling you what we've been looking at, okay? And so you're looking at just, oh, my word. I mean, does it ever stop? Because it's not stopping. And she came in yesterday, it was 2 days ago, and she said, hey, the horse has gotten into something, and it's like a big old gash. Show me the gash. She was stressed, and I'm thinking, oh, vet bill. I'm not thinking about the horse. I'm thinking about the vet bill, okay? And I stop, and I say, hey, let's pray real quick. And I promise you, this is how I prayed it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what's going on right now. We don't like it. It's hard. It's difficult. And it's okay to say that, right? I don't like this, but I'm going to thank you. And I'm just telling you, I said amen, and it was like we were different people because we were different people. Something miraculous changed in us. Still getting a vet bill, okay? And they had to get stitches and had to sew her up. But something happened in my heart. And it surprised me like it happened the first time I did something like this. Thank God, in something that's unusual, hard, or difficult. But to thank God in it. And to thank God for it. And the supernatural thing that happened to us, that all the stuff that's been happening in our you know, our little world that, you know, that just kind of gets to all of us. And let me just say, I have the money to pay for it all, okay? You do very good for me, so this is not about that. It's about just this thought of, am I going to let the stress, am I going to let the anxiety of everyday things that take away from our checkbook, okay? Am I going to let that control me, or am I going to say, God, I want to thank you. Thank you, Father, that this is happening. I want to thank you, God, that this is what you're doing right now in my life. There's something you're doing in us, and I just want to change the perspective of my life, and instead of complain, I'll thank you. Instead of grumble, I'll praise you. There's something, I'm telling you, in science and in the scripture and in the heavenlies that Thanksgiving does. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I've seen it in scripture. But here's the thought. In Luke 22, Jesus gives thanks for a broken body, spilt blood. And guess what? Guess what that does? The greatest miracle of all, salvation, enters the world. And it's been entering the world for 2,000 years since. Who gives thanks for crucifixion? Who gives thanks for the suffering? Our God did. He said it, I thank you. I thank you. I give thanks. I bless this bread and I break it because it's broken for you. And in this brokenness and in this hardship and the things that's going to happen over the next 24 hours are going to be devastating for the disciples. Yet he said something that I think they forgot. Thank me for it. Thank me in it. Of course, we're on the other side of that. We know the end of the story. We thank God for the broken body of Jesus. We thank you that when he died on that cross, he bore our sins in that on that body. He bore our griefs. Whatever you're sorrowful about, whatever the hardship is, he bore it on the cross. He bore your pain. He bore your sorrow. He bore your sin. That caused the sorrow. He bore it all on the body of our great God, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He takes the blood, he takes the wine, he lifts it up, and he gives thanks for spilt blood, spilt for you and for me. that I might have forgiveness. Scripture says we're forgiven by the blood of Jesus, that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that even John the Baptist would say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And in a moment, when we come to this table, when we take this bread and we take this cup and we celebrate it with our families today, when we celebrate it with each other today, I'm going to tell you, it's also a covenant meal. It's a reminder of what Jesus did when he carried your cross, when he carried your sin, and he carried your sorrows. Because there's some of you in here that your sorrows are so deep, that the wounds run so deep and so long, that you've been crying out. And perhaps God would today, by you saying, oh God, I believe with all my heart that you saved me from my sins. And none of us, probably none of us in this place have that kind of problem to believe that. But would you believe that he carried your pain? The pain from this week, last month, last season, last year. The pain you still struggle with from 8 years old and on, that God carried our sorrow. Listen to me. This is where that great word comes in. Sozo. He saves us and delivers us from our sin and the power of sin. And then, oh, you don't mean that he comes to take away my pain? He comes to do this? By matter of fact, this is what Paul said. Hey, come to this table in a manner worthy. What that means is you come confessed up. He said, there are people coming to the table because this is so serious. It's so deep. And they were coming in an unworthy manner. And he said, listen, this is why some of you sleep and why you're sick. Because you've come to the table in an unworthy manner. But oh, what happens when we'd come to the table in a worthy manner? And he said, well, none of us are worthy. I get that, but stop it. Because you would never be able to come with that kind of definition. We're made worthy by the blood and the body of Jesus that we're celebrating today. Amen. Yeah, clap, clap, clap offering. Thanksgiving offering. But the unworthy manner is when I've got known sin in my life and I make a mockery of the body and the blood of Jesus. And oh, by the way, you don't have to have 10 weeks of counseling to get it right with God to come to this table. God can do it in a moment, right? A moment, right now, right here, by you just confessing it. This side's really getting it. Why aren't y'all clapping like that? Nobody can. Yeah, thank you. This is why this is called the Thanksgiving meal. He gave thanks, the Eucharisteo meal. Because when you give thanks, even in the bad, even in the hard. Do you think it was easy going to the cross? No, it's the hardest thing to bear the sins of the world, to die on a cross, to suffocate. To suffocate on this cross. To be beaten like he would be beating the crown of thorns, the blood that flowed even before they nailed him. It's bad, it's hard, it's difficult, but yet the night before, knowing that all things were handed to him, raised this bread up and I said, I thank you for this broken body. And here's the challenge, if I can do that, I can do that the next crisis. Even when it doesn't make sense. Oh, I want to tell you, there's been some things and I said, what dad will thank God for that right now? A Christian dad would. Christian dad would. There was a circumstance in our lives that was just really hard, really difficult. And I was walking out of the hospital, and God said, are you going to thank me for this? And I went, no. Well, preacher, I thought you teach your people to thank God for everything. I didn't say you had to like it. And you don't. And so I did. Before I got to my car, God, I thank you. I don't like this, but I thank you for it. I thank you in it. Now, I know there's some of you that can't, maybe at the place of your life where you can't just say, I can't say, God, I thank you for this, but you can thank him in it. And maybe that'll get you to for it, because Scripture says to do both, in it and for it. It's what Scripture says. And so, before I got to the car, this peace came over me, and the circumstance turned on a dime. Now, I'm not a name it, claim it, grab it, blab it kind of guy. But at the same time, I think what you talk, say, and what you confess is a powerful thing in the heavenlies. Amen? What happens when you confess Jesus as Lord? You get salvation, right? I mean, even thanking God for the hard things is like saying, you're Lord of this, and I trust you for it. I trust you for it. And I just want to ask you, are you going through something very hard today that you need to just... You just need to get to this place and believe this word and say, God, I don't like it. It's hard. It's difficult. But we thank you for it. We thank you for the hardship. We thank you that we're broke. We thank you for the loss. We thank you. You know, I believe that thank you is the pathway to absolute total joy of the Lord. If it does such things scientifically to your brain, think about what it does to your spirit and your soul. It's miraculous. And I'm inviting you to come to this table today, thanking God for the body and blood of Jesus that saved you and delivered you. The most awful day in history became the very day, the greatest day in history, that led to the resurrection of Jesus when he conquered death. You know that Jesus couldn't have never resurrected unless he was dead. And this is the power of knowing him in the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death. Knowing him in this way. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Play that. Did you play Psalm 23? Yeah, you got that. Number one, have you truly thanked God for the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus? Have you done that? The body and the blood that secured your salvation. Maybe you're here today and you might not even know what I'm talking about. But Jesus died for you to take away your sin and to take away your sorrows. He spilt his blood for you to forgive you of all your sins and to redeem you as the purchase price, to die in your place because of your sin. The power of thank you. All I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was thank you. And it changed. And God did something great because he did it first in my life. And maybe the circumstances didn't change quickly, and maybe they won't. I'm not promising that. I'm just promising you something miraculous gets to happen in your life. And if God did that at the cross, imagine what he'll do at your cross and your hurt and your difficulty. So God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that in this moment of reflection, in this moment of time, that as we gather around the Lord's table right now, and as we come and we proclaim the Lord's death, that he died, he was crucified, he raised, was raised again. I was bought with the price of his blood. And this is so sacred, God, that we cannot let it become familiar. And that, God, that we come to the table and we would bring it back to our places or stand up with our family. And, Lord, that we would take it together believing in the promises of God. And I want to thank you, Lord, of what you would do when we have a people starting to thank you for everything. Come do that today, Lord. Come do it in the name of Jesus. And I pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. If you're new to us, one of the things that we enjoy doing, all our children are out of the square today so they could be with family. In just a moment, when we kind of go back to prayer again, I'm going to invite you to come as if you came by yourself, or if you came with your spouse, or if you came with a family, or you came with friends, that you would just come down and get the bread, and then take a cup, and then you can go to the sides, you know, or you could go back to your seat in your place or the back and just take it together. And this is what I want to encourage you to do, is that when you take the bread and you eat it, before you eat it, just someone be a spokesman and just say, "This is the body of Jesus. We take it believing in this great God and what he did with our sin." And we eat it. And then you take the cup and you do the same thing. And then maybe pray together. Maybe pray together as a family as you take this together. And so I want to one more time go to the Lord in prayer. Daniel, do you have folks that are ready to come up? Daniel, can you come up? Rod, can y'all come up? And Rick, can you come up as well? That's three. Is there any other elders here? Chief, could you come? Could you come as well? Just kind of work the table. Yeah. So if you need prayer, these men are here to pray for you, just for whatever, okay? So let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of thank you. We thank you for the blessing of it. And I pray as a result of thanking you today for the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus, that we would see miraculous and supernatural things come from our lives. And then God, as we thank you and worship you, even in the hard, the difficult, we'd see the work of God. Come, Lord, bless this Lord's Supper time. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And whenever you're ready, you can come down and receive.